All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors, for the month of Cheshvan. To thank you all in Sarah Kelman for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month. Our Daf Yomi sponsors, as a Zechus for Refuah Shleima for Dr. Aviva Weisbar, Ruchama Aviva Bas Sheina Chana, as well as for... As well as for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that these special women have a refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Rabosi, with that, let us begin. Make sure I didn't. Okay, good. Rabosi, a lot to do today. Meretz Hashem starting a new parak today as well. Really incredible sugya. Rabosi, we left off. Today's daf is Sadik K95. A lot to do. We left off on Sadik Dalet Amud Beis 94b. And Mikol Makom Kasha. So we'll say, remember again, we left off with the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, with the case in the mission of Bayis Shenifrat Mishdei Ruchosav, a home that's preached on two different sides. So we kind of apologize. We left off a little bit in the middle of the conversation yesterday. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha. Nevertheless, we are left with a question. What is the question? So the Gemara says, the question is, Lama, why does Pi Tikra only work from one direction and not from two directions? So says the Gemara, ki de Amri Beirav, Mishmei Derav, ki gon shenifrats bekeren zavis vikiruya ba'alachson. Because most remember again, the way we explained Rav's understanding over here is that the home in question was breached on the corner. That's what it means, Mishtei Ruchos. And ultimately, again, it had a sloped roof. So the breach on the corner is what makes it from two directions. And remember, we saw an interesting idea that even if you subscribe to the concept of Pi Tikra Yod B'Sosim, that the edge of the roof could kind of come down and form a mechitza that is only with a flat roof, not with a sloped roof. So this is actually quite fascinating. So to over here, the Gemara suggests that the case in question is where the wall was breached a total of four different tfachim, of four places. Now, I'll say, if you take a look, this is picture. Sorry. So this is picture 342. So we'll say, if you look in picture 342, you'll notice over here that according to Shmuel, what's unfolding, we'll say, is the wall is breached, if you notice, in four different ways. Which I will say means that according to Shmuel, in order to seal off this breach, you would need four different P-tikras. I would say it's actually great. On picture 342, you could see it's numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4. You would need to apply P-tikra in four different locations. So the Gemara says, I will say, now remember again what I was mentioning, is as follows, that according to Shmuel, the Gemara mentioned, that according to Shmuel, halacha l'maisa, P-tikra yod v'sosim only works if you have one full mechitza. If you have one full mechitza, then halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and do P-tikra on the other three sides. But if you have no walls at all, Shmuel holds that you cannot apply P-tikra on four sides. I'm going to say that's the achsadra case, as we're going to see for a moment. So therefore, the case according to Shmuel, what does it mean that the home was breached on two sides? It means that it was breached in a corner. So why can't you say P-tikra? Because Shmuel's case is the nature of the breach is that it would require, again, P-tikra on four different parts. Again, you'll refer to picture 342. And Shmuel holds, the Shitaso, that halach lamaisi, you can't have P-tikra on all four walls. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, Omar Karav, Alachson, Lokitani. So Shmuel doesn't hold of Rav's interpretation. Why? Because the Mishnah doesn't make any mention of a sloped roof. Rav lo amar ki Shmuel. Rav doesn't hold like Shmuel because imkain habile achsadra, and Rav doesn't hold like Shmuel because according to Shmuel, then the case, the way he's setting it up, should be a typical case of achsadra. And again, remember, if it comes to achsadra, what's your achsadra? Achsadra is a roofed pergola. Rav lo tamei do amar achsadra mutar le taltel bekula. But remember again, Rav holds that in general, an achsadra case, you are permitted to carry under the achsadra. Why? The itmar achsadra babika. If you have an achsadra in a large open area, Rav amr mutla talta bekula. Rav says you carry throughout the entire achsadra. Ushmuel amr in metalklin by elaba arba amo. Shmuel says you're limited to dalrams. Rav amr mutla talta bekula. Amrin and pitek yerev is osing. So you've seen this before a number of times already. So remember, both said this is a fascinating case. You have, again, a roofed pergola. So Rav says that entire area is considered to be enclosed. Why? Pi tikra yarid v'sosim. We view the edge of each side of the roof as if it extends downward. Therefore, you have four walls, totally enclosed area, and you can carry in there. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Shmuel says we only have Dalet Amos. Why? Because Shmuel says we don't say Pitikra. Now, Bosse, we've clarified that point. It's not the pshat that Shmuel doesn't hold of Pitikra. Shmuel holds of Pitikra. What doesn't he hold of? He doesn't hold that Pitikra could be applied to four walls. In other words, you can't have, if you have no walls, you can't apply Pitikra on four sides. If you have one wall, you could apply Pitikra on the remaining four, on the remaining three sides. Good. So the Gemara says, Be'eser kuli amalo pligi. So the Gemara now says, we'll say, if the breach in question is 10 amos or less, everyone agrees. Ki pligi, so where does the machlokis come up? Be'eser me'eser, if the breach is more than 10 amos. Ve'ikida amri, others explain. Be'eser kuli amalo pligi. And I will say, ultimately, you remember, let me clarify that. If the breach is less than 10 amos, everyone agrees that, remember, let's both say, what's the status of an opening less than 10 amos? Status of an opening less than 10 amos? Doorway. It's a Pesach. It's a Pesach. If it's a Pesach, then what? You don't even need to apply Pitikra. Right? You must remember again, Pitikra is what you apply to remedy a breach. But if you have less than 10 amos of opening, you don't need Pitikra. That's called a Pesach. Where does the machlokis come up? Rabbi, say the machlokis comes up in an opening of more than 10 amos. Vigadamri, others explain, no. Ki pligi. I'm sorry, Vigadamri. Bieser kule amalo pligi. Everyone agrees that more than 10 amos is not a machlokis. And I was supposed to say that it's not good. Ki pligi. Beeser. Dam Rav Yehuda. Rabbi, say, here we go. Top of Tzadik Hei. Kora dalid matir bechorva. Rabbi, say, if you have a kora, if you have a beam that is four tefachim wide, it allows for carrying in a ruin. Now, Bosse, this is picture 343. So if you notice over here, picture 343, Bosse, what you have is an open ruin, right? A ruin that is totally open and breached on one side. If you have a korah, if you have a beam that goes across the top of the chorva, so we'll say that beam allows for carrying. Now, where does it allow for carrying? Underneath the beam. What's the pshat, I will say? Because underneath the beam, we will apply the concept of Pitikra yored v'sosim. Pitikra yored v'sosim. Therefore, we'll say the Gemara says as follows. So, korah dalad matir b'chorva. Rav Nachman amar Rav Ravua, korah dalad matir b'mayim. So, Rav Ravua says, no. The only time that the korah of four tefachim of width allows for you to view the area as enclosed is where? When it's over water. Rav said this goes back to what we said before, that in general, there are kulas when dealing with water, the allowance for drawing of water. But on dry land, that wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, So whose opinion is reflected? Lahach lishna da'amit be'eser lo pligi be'eser v'divri hakol. So we'll say ultimately again, according to this version that said that the amrit eser lo pligi be'eser divrei hakol lahach lishna da'amrit be'eser pligi kirav. So we'll say ultimately again, according to this version that you hold, that in the case of 10 tefachim or less, everyone agrees. But more than eser, ultimately again, there's a machlokes. Mm-hmm. According to this approach, it would be a case of 10 amos or less and reflect views, Rav's view. Lema Abai v'Rava b'pulk v'Rav Shmuel chamefik. You're supposed to say, maybe Abai and Rava have the same machlokes ultimately as Rav and Shmuel. How do we align? I'm supposed to say, here we go. The Itmar, Sichech agabi achsadra, sheyesh la pitzimin. But see, if you put schach, this is a sukkah case now. You put schach on top of an achsadra, on top of a pergola. And I'll say, obviously, this is an unroofed pergola. So you have an unroofed pergola, you put schach on top of it. And what happens? We'll say the schach has pitzimin. Pitzimin are boards. If you take a look, not yet. So it has pitzimin. So what's the halacha? Kshera. Ultimately, we'll say the presence of the pitzimin is going to make the sukkah kosher. In lo pitzimin, what happens if it doesn't have boards? Abai amar kshera, berava amar. I will say actually take a look at the first Rashi and the daf. Sheish lo pitzimin, amudin kivun b'michitzo se pachos migimol. So we'll say here's what we're assuming pitzimin means. Pitzimin means boards, and how are these boards arranged? They are arranged at less than three tefachim from one another. So what happens if you have boards arranged less than three tefachim from one another? Love it, and therefore it's a full wall. So the Gemara says, just understand, you have your pergola, obviously without a roof. The pergola has boards, right? It has walls made of boards that are spaced less than three tefachim from each other. You put schach on top of that. So as long as there are pitzimin, ultimately again it's kasher. If there are no pitzimin, if there are no boards, then the sukkah is not kosher, right? I should say it differently. If there are not pitzimin, Abaye says it's kosher. Rav says it's psula. What's the pshat? Abai Amr Kshera Amr Pitik or Yoav Sose. So we'll say Abai says the sukkah is kasher. Why? Because we'll say, remember again, the achsadra obviously has boards on top of it also. So we view the edge board on each side of the achsadra as extending downwards and closing off the sukkah. Pitik or Yoav Sose. But Rava Amar Psula, Rava will say that ultimately, again, the sukkah is pasul. Why? So the Gemara says, Lo Amar Pitikar Yoav Sose. Ultimately, again, because Rava will say that we do not hold of Pitikra Yored Vesosim. So the Gemara says, Lema Abaye Kirav V'Rava Kishmul. So we'll say, let's say that Abaye holds like Rav, because remember again, Rav was an Abose who was willing to apply Pitikar Yored Vesosim on multiple sides. And Abaye holds, Say that Abaye holds like Rav. So we'll say Abaye who says that an achsadra sukkah, even without walls, even without boards on the sides, is still going to be kasher, because we'll say pitik yard v'sosein. Let's say that Abaye holds like Rav, because Rav was also willing to go ahead and apply pitik yard v'sosein on four sides. And Rava, who says that the achsadra sukkah without pitzimin, without boards, is going to be pasul, he holds like Shmuel. Because if also remember again, we saw it Shmuel, as much as Shmuel said that you could hold the pitik yard v'sosein, he held that what? You can't apply it to four open sides. To which the Gemara says, Alibi the Shmuel kol amalo pligi. We'll say, in accordance with the position of Shmuel, everyone agrees with his Shita. Ki pligi alibi the Rav. So we'll say, the Machlokis is really in Shita's Rav. Abaye kirav. So we'll say, Abaye clearly holds like Rav. And that's why Abaye will say that even an achsadra sukkah with no walls will still be kasher, because we'll apply pitik yard v'sosim on each side. The Rava will say, Ad kan lo ka'amar Rav hasam ela dahani mechitzas, ela dahani mechitzas lachsadra. So we'll say, but Rav will say like this, in my case, I was able to say, pitik yared v'sosim by achsadra, because the achsadra was made for an achsadra, and being used as an achsadra. So when the structure is being used in its normative fashion, that's when you can say, pitikra yored v'sosim on all four sides. Aval hocha, dahani mechitzas lav lo suka avidi lo. But perhaps Rav would say that in the case of using the achsadra for a sukkah, we would not apply pitik yored v'sosim on all four sides. Why? Because the achsadra was not made to be used for a sukkah. The achsadra was made to be used as an achsadra. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is introducing is something very interesting. That maybe even Rav who holds pitik yored v'sosim, and remember Rav holds the most expansive version of pitikra yored v'sosim, because he holds that you could do it on all four sides. Perhaps he only applies that in a case where it's what's called normative usage. Normative usage. But if you're using a structure in its non-normative way, then you cannot utilize pitikra on all four sides. Therefore, the usage of an achsadra as a sukkah, which again, at least in this case, is not the normal usage of the achsadra, will not allow you to apply pitikra on all four sides. Interesting. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mutaris. We'll say, remember again, back to the Mishnah now. So remember, we'll say, the topic in the Mishnah was as follows. The topic in the Mishnah was a chatzar that was breached to Rishas HaRabim, or a home that was breached, or a mavui that had its lechi or its korah removed at the onset, right once Shabbos started. So remember again, Rabbi Huda said, as long as you started Shabbos beheter, right, in a permitted state, that permitted state remains with you throughout the duration of Shabbos. Obviously, you have to fix the chatzar, the bayis, the mavui, in advance of next Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi came along and he said, look, if it's mutter for this Shabbos, it's mutter for next Shabbos. And if it's not mutter for next Shabbos, then what? Then what? It's aser for this Shabbos. So now we'll say, the Gemara said, let's analyze this shita. Bari luhu. Rabbi Yossi lesser or lahatir? We'll say, is Rabbi Yossi, I don't understand. Is Rabbi Yossi coming to aser or to be matir on this Shabbos? We'll say, remember again, the Mishnah is dealing with cases of structures which were intact at the onset of Shabbos, and then something happened that they were then breached over the course of Shabbos. So it's a simple shaila. Does the original permitted status remain for the duration of Shabbos, or does it change along with the change in mitzias, change in reality? So is Rabbi Yossi coming to say that it's mutter or it's aser? Amar Rav Sheshes is lasar. Rabbi Yossi is coming to say that it is aser. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan lasar. Tanya Amihachar Baisa, that supports this understanding. But say the Baisa spells this out a little bit more. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yossi, K'shem she'asur l'asad lavo. Just like, I will say, and again, you fill in the blank, the breached chatzar, the breached home, the mavoi whose lechi or korah was removed on Shabbos is going to be asur for a future Shabbos, kach asur in the osa Shabbos, so too it is prohibited for this Shabbos as well. Itmar. So the Gemara says, halachik Rabbi Yossi, Deloch indeed follows Rabbi Yossi. Ushmuel or Shmuel says, halach Rabbi Huda. Shmuel said, no, it's not true. The halacha follows Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah. So both say, now machlokes in the halacha. So you have Rav Chiya bar Yosef saying the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, who says, again, if the structure is diminished, right, the chatzar is breached, the home is breached, the lechir kor is taken from the mavoi, those areas become asr now on Shabbos. And then you have Shmuel saying the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. No, once a particular area begins Shabbos in a permitted state, that permitted status remains for the duration of Shabbos, even if the area undergoes some type of change. First wide line on Sabi Kamed Aleph. Did Shmuel actually say that Allah Chafaz Rabbi Yehuda? Now we learned Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So what's to remember again, there's going to be Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda over here. So Rabbi Huda says, Medra Amurim, when ultimately, again, when do we follow the halacha like Rabbi Huda? I'm sorry, let me say that again. I'm Rabbi Huda, Medra Amurim. When is this Sorah Bosei? Be'eruv Etchumen, that you need Rishus from someone in order to go ahead and make an Eruv, that's by Eruv Tchumen. Right, that's by Erev Tchumen, we saw this. So yeah, aval be'eruv chetzeros ma'arvin bein ladas bein shalodas. Also, when it comes to Erev chetzeros, you could go ahead and make an Erev on someone's behalf even without their permission. Why? L'fisha zachin la'adam shalob b'fanov bein chavin shalob b'fanov. Also, remember again, we had that sugya. I can't make an Erev Tchumen on your behalf without your permission. Why? Because everyone will say, how does Erev Tchumen work? Whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in a different direction. So if I make an Erev on your behalf, as much as I'm gaining you 2,000 amas in the east, I'm making you lose out on any movement, mobility towards the west. I can't do that without your permission. Erev Chatzeros, conversely, is an objective schos. In other words, there's no downside to Erev Chatzeros. And therefore, Allah Lamaisa, I can make an Erev Chatzeros without your permission. But I'm Rav Yehuda. Amar Shmuel, and I will say, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that halacha ultimately follows Rabbi Yehuda. V'lo od, not only that, ela komakom sheshana Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin, halacha k'mos. We'll say, not only that, but wherever the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in Erivin, we always paskin like him. V'amrli Rav Chana Bagarata, l'Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu b'mavui shenitol karaso alachayev. So is that true even in the case of Osai, of a mavui whose lechi or korah was taken? Because you must remember again, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold in the case of a lechi or a korah which was removed? What does he hold? That's our Mishnah. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? If your mavui started Shabbos with the lechi or korah intact, and then what happened? The lechi or the korah was removed. Osai, what's the halacha in Rabbi Yehuda? What's the halacha? You can still carry in that mavui. Do we even follow Rabbi Yehuda in that case? So we'll say, the case of the lechi or korah removed in the mavui is not a case of erevin. That's a case of mechitzos. Right? Once again, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, a lechi or a korah at the entrance of the mavui is not an erev. That's a mechitza, right? That's a wall, or that's a hecker, that's a reminder of some sort. So we just said that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda by Erevin, lav dafka by mechitzas. I'm Rav Anan. L'didimi farshle minei the Shmuel. Kanshin ifritz al the Carmelis. Kanshin ifritz al the Shusran. But or conversely, the other possibility is as follows: that when do we follow Rabbi Yehuda? We follow Rabbi Yehuda ultimately again if the chatzah was breached into a Carmelis. So if the chatzah was breached into a rabbinic domain, then we'll follow Rabbi Yehuda and we'll say that halacha lemaisa, we view the chatzah as enclosed for the duration of that Shabbos since it began Shabbos enclosed. We view it as remaining enclosed, but for next Shabbos, you have to go ahead and fix it. But halacha l'maaseh, if the chatzah was breached into a Rosh Hasharabim, into a biblical domain, then the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Then ultimately, again, we view it as breached even on the current Shabbos. We'll say, how do we paskin? So we already saw a little bit of this in that halacha l'maaseh, we'll say, two Mishnayos ago. Remember again, we saw that when you have two chatzeros and a wall in between them, and they both made their respective eruvin, if the wall comes down on Shabbos, we'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? We view the wall as up for the remainder of Shabbos. That was the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We saw that halacha yesterday, right? That halacha lemaisa, even if the wall comes down on Erev Shabbos for the two chatzeros, ultimately again we view that wall as still intact. their respective Erevin are still intact as well. But that's because, remember, again, we saw the Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura says that's because you're dealing with chatzeros. You're dealing with like domains. But the Shulchan Aruch already told us, but if the chatzer breaches into a Carmelis or breaches into a Rish Sradim under those circumstances, we view the breach now even on that present Shabbos, and we don't say that since the chatzer began Shabbos in a state of being enclosed, that it remains enclosed. But we'll say, what about the case of a mavui whose korah or lechi was taken? Because this is a very important case as well. So we started Shabbos. We'll say, it's going back to the beginning of the Masechta. We started Shabbos. I put a lechi or a korah, right? A vertical beam or a horizontal beam at the entrance of the mavui. That permits carrying in the mavui. But we'll say, just to be clear, even if you have a shitof, right? Even if you have a shitof muvaos, you still need a lechi or a korah at the entrance of the mavoi to allow for carrying in the mavoi. So I, Erev Shabbos, I put it there. Over the course of Shabbos, something happens to it. It's taken away. What's the status of the mavoi? So we'll say the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Shin Samechei Sev Zayin. Mavoi shenitlu korosa o lechaya b'Shabbos. If you have a mavoi and the lechi or korah was taken away, afapi shehotu lemikza Shabbos, aser misham ve'elech. We'll say, even though, again, the lechi or korah were there at the onset of Shabbos, ultimately, again, once it's taken away, halacha lemaisa, again, the mavoi becomes aser. And I will say, ultimately, again, the velo arminan kan Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. So I'll say, we don't go ahead and say over here, by Shabbos hol v'hutra, since it started Shabbos in a state of permission, it ends Shabbos. Or you could close out the rest of that Shabbos in a state of permission as well. And he refers us back, again, to what we saw in Simen Shin Samech, Sif Beis, which again we don't have to get into right now. So we'll say halacha l'maisa, it appears that indeed the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi in all three cases. Namely, if you have a chatzer, well, two cases for now, well, three, chatzer that is breached into a Carmelis, chatzer that's breached into a Rishus Harabim, or a mavoi whose lechi or korah was taken away. In all three of these cases, these domains become usur on that Shabbos. The only case so far where we're going to say hoil v'hutra hutra, that if you began Shabbos in a permitted state, that permitted state remains is where? Which case? Which case? The two chatzeros with a wall who both made their respective Erevin. The wall falls down on Shabbos. We view them still as separate and distinct chatzeros for the duration of that particular Shabbos. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. Habona aliyah agabe shnei batim. Well, so this is an interesting case. You have two homes. And imagine for a moment you go ahead and you build an aliyah, you build an upper story on top of those homes, right? On top of those homes. So we'll say, so just imagine two homes across from each other, you build an upper story on top of those homes. So we'll say, this is still going with the Pitik or Yard Vesosim case, right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, this is still the situation where, remember, now you have an area underneath the upper story, underneath the aliyah, in between the two homes. So we'll say, or V'chein Yishar Mefulashin, or we'll say, you have a bridge, and there's an area underneath the bridge. So what's the halacha? Metaltal tachtein b'Shabbos Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to carry underneath the aliyah, and you're allowed to carry underneath the bridge. We'll say, what's the logic? The logic is p'tikir yor v'sosim. We view the edges of the aliyah as extending downwards, the edges of the bridge as extending downwards, and therefore they enclose the area underneath. The chachamim osrim. The chachamim ultimately say that it is aser. Chacham say that it's aser. Va'od on Rabbi Yehuda, ma'arvin l'mavai mafulash. So Rabbi Yehuda also says that you can make an eruv for a mavoi that is open on both sides. On both sides, so the Gemara Sabah saying Rabbi Huda's logic is, Rashi points out that all Rabbi Huda really requires in order to enclose an area is two mechitzas. Two mechitzas is enough to create an enclosure. However, Chum say no, that's not an enclosure, right? You need at least mavoi closed on all three sides, and then a lechi or a korah on the fourth side. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says lo tema hainu tam Rabbi Huda mishum de kasavar beiz mechitzas daraisa. Both say, now let's go back for just a second. Why, according to Rava, why is it that Rabbi Huda allows for carrying underneath the aliyah or carrying underneath the bridge? So we'll say, you might think it's because Rabbi Huda only requires two mechitzas. That's not the reason. It's because Rabbi Huda says that underneath the aliyah or underneath the bridge, you could apply the concept of pitikar yor v'sosim. You view the sides of the aliyah or the sides of the bridge as extending downwards and ultimately going ahead and enclosing the entire area. Yes, Sir Alkin, I'm Rabbi Huda. Mishyesh lo shnei batim, mishnei tider shirabim. So, you've seen this case many, many times. If you have two homes across the Rosh Surabim from each other. So imagine you have a busy street, you have a Rosh Surabim, and you have two homes on either side of the street. So what's the halacha? Ose lechem mikan, velechem mikan, okar mikan, vekar mikan, venose, venose me'emtsa. So I'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Huda says, you can make a lechi or a korah on either side, and that allows you to carry across, this is incredible, carry across the Rosh Surabim from one home to the other. So the Gemara will say, so interestingly enough, what do you see from that case? I will say, why does Rabbi Huda allow that? Because obviously Rabbi Huda is saying is two mechitzos are enough to create an enclosure. That your house on one side, your house on the other side gives you two mechitzos. The presence of the lechi akor then gives you something additional. And you clearly see Rabbi Huda holds that two mechitzos are enough. To which the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, from that case, you could see that Rabbi Huda holds that two mechitzos are enough. From the case of the aliyah or the bridge, you would not be able to glean that idea. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. In Achinami, the Mishnah here is introducing to us something dramatically amazing. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that indeed two mechitzas are enough to create an enclosure. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda says that explicitly later on in the Mishnah. That's why he holds that a mavui that is open on both sides, you could still go ahead and put a lechi or a korah and carry in that, because seals two mechitzas is enough. All the Gemara is saying is, you would not be able to glean that shita from the case of the bridge or the aliyah, the upper story. Why? Because in the case of the bridge or the aliyah, you have something else going on over here. What's the something else? What's the something else? Pitik or yod v'sosem. Am Ravashi. Ravashi says that our Mishnah also supports this idea. Midiktani va'od, since the Mishnah uses the lashon of va'od. Rabbi Yosef writes when it transitions from the case of Aliyah and Batim, it also says va'od. Rabbi Yosef, va'od seems to indicate that it's coming ahead and going ahead and adding on something to the previous discussion. Amrav Yehuda. So va'od Amrav Yehuda. Mavoi ma'arvin be'mavoi hamafulash v'chachamim osrim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha l'maisa, you can make an eruv in an open mavoi, a mavoi that's open on both sides, and the Chum say it's aser. I amrit bishlama hasam mishum dekasavar pitigriya v'sosem. Hainu diktani va'od. Ela I amrit mishum dekasavar shtei mechitos daraisa mai va'od. So we'll say, if you understand that the Gemara is coming to introduce a new discussion, that's why it brings in va'od. See, Rabbi said, there's two, but if he's saying it's the same conversation, then why do you need the va'od? In other words, stated to go back and analyze the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda is stating two different shitas over here. In the case of the bridge and the case of the aliyah, he holds that you can go ahead and carry underneath the bridge, underneath the aliyah. Why? According to Rabbi Huda, why? Pitikra yored v'sosin. We view the edge of the aliyah, edge of the bridge, as extending downwards. Nothing to do with two mechitzas, to do with pitikra. Then, by the way, the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, there's another conversation. What's the other conversation? That you could even carry in an open mavoi. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that two mechitzas ultimately, again, are enough. So two different ideas being espoused by Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, pitik yod v'sosein, and ultimately, again, two mechitzas are enough doraisa. So we'll say, obviously, again, halacha l'maisa, so we know we're passing like the chachamim. Certainly, again, in the case of the mavoi mefulash, that I will say we hold that, again, two mechitzas are not enough doraisa, and therefore, in the case of a mavoi mefulash, ultimately, again, it would be considered to be like an open area. Now, I will say, in general, the discussion regarding pitik yod v'sosein is an incredible discussion. We're gonna still see some of it to come. We'll see the halacha lemaisa, but I will say at least what you begin to see the yisodistic ideas to take with you regarding pitik or yored v'sosem, ultimately again are that it is a halacha lemoshe misinai. It appears that everyone subscribes to it. It is just a machlokas about the application. So, for example, we've seen Rav holds you could apply pitik or yored v'sosem on four walls, which Rabbi says is an incredible chiddush. That's the case of the roofed pergola. You could apply it on all four walls. Shmuel says, no, maximum how many walls? According to Shmuel, three. Maximum three. You need to have one actual wall. What we've also seen is that halacha l'maisa, pitik or yored v'sosem, Rabbi says, might not apply to every structure. So, for example, we saw it apply to a pergola, but it might not apply to a sukkah. We also saw that the nature of the roof could also impact the application of pitik yored v'sosem. For example, we saw this idea, according to Rav, that a sloped roof You cannot go ahead and apply P-Tigger. It only works with a flat roof. So just keep all of these things in mind. We will do a halacha l'maisa piece on P-Tigger Yorib Esosim before the end of the Masechta. Hadron halach, kol ganas. So we'll say mazel tov. We now enter the last parak of Maseches Erevin. Pretty incredible. Says the Mishnah. Hamotzi tefillin. We'll say, listen to such a fascinating case. Shabbos, you find a pair of tefillin on the ground. So I'll say, how do you go? And I'll say, we're talking about a case over here where, so the question is, I'm either outside of the tchum, we'll see, or again, really, what we're bringing up over here is an issue of carrying. There's no permissible way for me to carry these tefillin. Samoti tefillin, if I find the tefillin, so what do I do? Machnisin zug zug. So I'll say, the way you go ahead and bring them into your home or into the city is you go ahead and you put them on. You wear them in one pair. You wear them in zug zug. Rashi says echav rosh ve'echav bezra v'hanu zug kederach shaloshan b'chol b'chozer. So what you go ahead and you do? You bring them in. You wear them in. This is the idea. We're gonna clarify this case more, so I don't want to get too into it now. You find tefillin. You need to go and transport them to a place of safety. You put them on and you wear them in. So the Gemara says Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shnayim, Shnayim. So Rabbi Gamliel says you can wear actually up to two pairs of tefillin at a time. Again, we'll define exactly what this means. So the Gemara says, B'medra Amurim. So we'll say ultimately, again, when is this said? B'yishanos. We'll say now, literally it means old tefillin. Aval b'chadoshos pater. But halacha l'maaseh, if it's new tefillin, you can't go ahead and move them. Now, what's the pshat over? This is really quite fascinating. Look at Rashi b'yishanos. Shenikra kesha asay kimin shakai. Devadai tefillin. Now, listen to this. Apparently, in the times of the Gemara, they used to make, they had kamios. Kamios are amulets. There used to be some amulets which were made that looked like tefillin. So Rashi will say, there is no heter to go ahead and move tefillin, to move amulets on Shabbos, if there's no Erev or anything else. But you're allowed to move tefillin, as we'll discuss. So Shabbos say, see, interesting, how do you know what's an amulet, what's tefillin, if they look the same? So the one distinction was that amulets, by the Shal Rosh and by the Shal Yad, didn't have the specialized knots. So I'll say, let's say you come across a pair of what looks like tefillin, but let's say where the knots were, it's untied. So Shabbos say, you could tell if there was a knot. How can you tell if there was a knot? Because it will say, after enough time of the Ratsua being tied, not even after so long, the leather bends. So if you look at the straps and you see, oh, this was once knotted, then you know that those are tefillin, and that's where there's a heter to go ahead and wear it in. But if when looking at the straps look new in that they were never formed into a knot, that's a good indication that it's an amulet, that's a kamiya, and for that, you just leave it there. You have no right to go ahead and transport it on Shabbos. That's what it means. But ultimately, again, where the strap itself was not manipulated anyway, so therefore it was never put into the form of a knot, you can't move that on Shabbos, and halacha l'maaseh, you just leave it alone. Mitzan tzivasim o krichos. So we'll say, what happens in the following case? Let's say you found many pairs of tefillin tied together, or many pairs of tefillin piled together. So I'll say, what do you do in that case? Machshich alehen umevien. So I'll say, ultimately, again, in that case, stay with the tefillin until nighttime, and then you'll bring them back in after nighttime. So I'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is machshich alehen, that's Rashi on the daf. Achetech shach, you wait with the tefillin until it gets dark. V'yishmarim, and watch over them. V'lechashetech shach yitlim yachadu. V'gimara parach v'layalin hu zug zug. The Gemara is going to ask, I don't understand, why can't I just employ the same strategy that the Mishnah started with? If I find a lot of pairs of tefillin, I'll say, how do I transport them? How to transport them? Wear them. Just wear them one at a time. Or right, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, I remember a meal, Susie, I can wear them two at a time and just keep going back and forth. Okay, so we'll discuss why that is. Amud Beis. Obisakana. I will say, what if it's a time of sakana? Time of Amud Beis. Meaning, time of sakana, meaning that halacha l'maisa, I can't wait out there with the tefillin. Whatever the sakana is, Rabbi say, I'm scared of criminals, and therefore I can't just stay out here. What do? Mechasen v'holichlo. I cover the tefillin. Cover the tefillin so that they shouldn't be exposed, and then I go home. I go on my way. Rabbi Shimon says, how else can you move the tefillin? Remember again, if you have a situation where carrying is prohibited, even when carrying is prohibited, for example, no Eruv, you're always allowed to carry. Technically, there's no Isra unless you carry Dalai Lamas. So it comes on Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, I have a good Eitzah for you. Get a bunch of your Chaverim. I will say, you don't even need so many Chaverim. which is all you need to do is hand it from one person to the other. And as long as each person carries it less than Dalet Amos, you can get the tefillin back into the home. So we'll say so again. Remember, I just want to point out, you don't need an assembly line of people, right? It could be the same people. I give it to Reuven, right? And then I walk by and Reuven gives it to me. Then I give it to Reuven. So you could do it with a limited number of people, each of us walking less than Dalet Amos, until we get the tefillin back to habitation. So let's listen to this case. It's very interesting. Let's say a man's wife gave birth in the field, and now we have to get the baby back into the home. So what do? Same idea. You can hand the baby off person to person, right? Everybody carrying the baby less than Dalet Amos until you get the baby back into the house. Even if you employ, right, 100 people in this endeavor. Rabbi Huda says, by the way, it's not just tefillin. No sin Adam chavis the chavira, the chavira, the chavira, filu chos le tchum. So let's say Rabbi Huda says, let's say you have a great bottle of wine, and mamish, again, it's outside of the tchum, but I need it. It's not a want, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. So I'll say, what can I do? Rabbi Huda says, you can even get a bunch of your chavirim, everybody carrying it less than Dalet Amos, and bring it back into the house. Afilu chos le tchum, says the Gemara, amru lo, lo tehalech ze yosin ragli bala. So I said, no, one second. If you're dealing with utensils outside of the tchum, Rabosai, so that's already something a little bit different. Because again, remember, and we'll discuss this in greater depth as well, a utensil is often governed by the tchum of its owner. So whatever the owner's tchum is, that's the tchum of the utensil. So the fact that you can go ahead and take care of the issue of carrying does not necessarily obviate the concern regarding the tchum. So we'll say, good. Now let's analyze tefillin. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, zug echad in tfeilo. So we'll say, so remember again, we have, interestingly enough, we had a machlok, well, it seems to be a machlokes here, between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel. Tanakama holds that if you find tefillin, you could wear the tefillin in. Now remember, I just want to point out, we're not exactly sure, in general, one of the issues we have to, is what is the status of tefillin on Shabbos? What is the status of tefillin, right? Is Shabbos a time for tefillin, not a time for tefillin? So again, we're going to discuss all of these related issues. But Lamaisi, here's what I know. I don't have an Erev, therefore I can't carry. So because I can't carry, I can't just pick up the tefillin and bring them in. That I know. So how do I deal with it? So the Tanakam, the Chum said, put it on. You could put on one pair at a time, wear it in. It's a malbush, it's considered like a garment. You could wear it in. Rabbi Gamliel says you could wear it in two pairs at a time. Says the Gemara, zug echad in tfeilo. So the Tanakama says you could wear it in one pair at a time, but not anymore. Lema tnan stama delo k'Rabbi Meir. So I'll say, must see that this stam Mishnah, right? The Tanakama, this Mishnah must not be Rabbi Meir. Why not? Di Rabbi Meir, ha omer, lovish komashi yachal elbosh, va'otef komashi yachal atov. Because what Rabbi Meir holds, and we're going to see this in just a moment, that in the case of where a fire breaks out in your home on Shabbos, fire breaks out in a person's home on Shabbos, Rabbi Meir holds, and you want to save your clothing. Rabbi Meir holds, you want to say, how can you save your clothing? Put on as much as you want, right? Put on 5 suits, put on 10 coats, put on as much as you can to get everything out that you can. So we'll say, Rabbi Meir is of the, so therefore again, our Mishnah, which only allows you to put on one pair of tefillin, obviously doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, we'll say, what should you be able to do? Put on as many pairs of tefillin as you want to. This is not, we'll say, what's the sheet of Rabbi Meir? Here we go, this not. Well, the sham motzi kol klei tashmisho, v'lovish komashi yachal elbosh, v'otev komashi yachal latov. Because Rabbi Meir holds it halacha l'maaseh. If the fire breaks out in the home, I could put on as much as I want and wear it out. So what's like according? So obviously, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, "He's stama mimay Rabbi Meir." So what's like? By the way, how do you know that the stam Mishnah by the fire that allows you to wear as much clothing out as you want? How do you know that that reflects the view of Rabbi Meir? Diktani Allah, lovesh umotzi uposhet, v'lovesh umotzi uposhet, afilu kol hayom kulo divrei Rabbi Meir. So let's say, okay, pretty explicit. Because Rabbi Meir holds, you could put on as much as you want, go out, take it off, go back in, put on, come back out, take off, keep going on and on. So we'll say Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that as long as you're wearing it, you could put on as much as you want in order to transport the clothing. So therefore, again, if Rabbi Meir was the author of our Mishnah, I would have said that what in Allah Chalamais, you could put on as many pairs of tefillin as you could fit and wear them out. Yet the Tanakama holds that you can only put on one pair of tefillin. So Amar Rava, Afilu Tira Meir. So Rava says, no. The Mishnah can reflect you, Rabbi Meir. Why? Hasam derech malbusho kichol shavi rabbanon. Bahachi, so we'll say, why does Rabbi Meir allow you to wear out many layers of clothing? Because we'll say, even during the week, it is common for people to layer. It's common for people to layer their clothing. So because it's common to layer, the act of putting on many garments is still considered to be a normative wearage. Is wearage a word? Probably not, right? Because it seems to be a normal wearing of garments. That's derech malbusho. So Rabbi Meir would hold, the Gemara says, Hacha derech malbusho kechol shavyei. So we'll say, ultimately again, by tefillin, we'll say, also you could wear it, but you have to wear it the way you wear it during the week. How do you wear your tefillin during the week? We'll say, one pair per customer. Except we'll see when that's not true, right? One pair per customer. So therefore, we'll say, the Mishnah could even reflect if you're Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir doesn't just allow you to pile on clothing, stam. He allows you to pile on clothing because that's called derech malbusho. People often layer, so therefore Shabbos when sitting you could layer, but by tefillin, where a person only wears one pair, even Rabbi Meir would agree that when going and transporting the tefillin, you could only wear them one pair at a time. So the Gemara says, Hasam debechol. Here the Gemara says explicitly, debechol kama debay lavish le'inyan atzala nami sharile. So we'll say when it comes during the week, people often wear many layers of clothing. So too, then when going in and saving your clothing on Shabbos, you could wear many layers. Hacha debechol nami zug echad in tfei lo le'inyan hatzala nami zug echad in tfei lo. So it's Rabbi say when it comes to tefillin, just like tefillin, you normally only wear one pair. That therefore, even according to Rabbi Meir, on Shabbos you would only wear one pair. Good. Rabbi say that closes out the sheet. So therefore, again, it's possible that the unnamed Tanakama is Rabbi Meir, and the same Rabbi Meir will allow you to go and wear multiple layers of clothing when saving it from a fire. Will still only allow you to wear one pair of tefillin back and forth. Because halacha lemaisa, it's always governed by derech malbusho. Something is only called a malbush if you wear it in the normal fashion on Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel omer shnayim shnayim. So also Rabbi Gamliel holds you can even wear two pairs of tefillin at a time on Shabbos. So my kasaver. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Gamliel hold? Here we go. We'll say, this gets to the core of the issue. I kasaver, Shabbos zman tefillinu. So we'll say, now we drill down to the yisodistic issue. It will say, is Shabbos a time of tefillin? Or is there a mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos? So if you hold that Shabbos, technically speaking, there is a mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos, then what? The Gemara says, Ika sabra Shabbos man tefillinu, zug echad in tefillo. Then it will say, should be limited to wearing one pair of tefillin, because that's the mitzvah of tefillin. The Ika sabra Shabbos loves man tefillinu. And it will say, but if you hold that halacha l'maisa, there is no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos. And the only reason why Chazal allow you to go ahead and wear tefillin on Shabbos is because derech malbush. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Rashi, I don't know what it is, but the red light is blinking. I don't know what that means on the camera. So the Gemara says, Lavzman tefillin hu. So Rashi says over here, Bisholi rabbanan derech malbush mishum detach shetu legabei velo masui ve'af agav delav urche hachem mishum atzal ashari. So both say, listen to this. So the shaila is, when we allow you to wear tefillin on Shabbos, what's the license? Is Rabbi Gamliel saying that if he holds that Shabbos is zman tefillinu, if you hold that mamish, that there's a mitzvah of tefillin, now again, I will say, if there's a mitzvah of tefillin, so why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? That we'll discuss. But if you hold that Shabbos is zman tefillin, and therefore again, you're allowed to take tefillin on Shabbos because it's a mitzvah of tefillin, then I understand you should be limited to what? One pair. Because that's the normative way that you go ahead and wear tefillin. If you hold, on the other hand, that lemaisa what? Shabbos is not zman tefillin hu, that there's no mitzvah of tefillin, and the only reason why on Shabbos we allow you to wear your tefillin in is because we look at your tefillin as what? As a malbush, as a garment. That's how we're looking at Rashi again. La zman tefillin hu, v'shoyli rabbanan derech malbush, mishum detach shetu legabei, v'lo masui, we look at it as a garment, and not something you're carrying. V'af agav lav urche, hachem u'chlasa, and Rabbi said, even though people don't normally wear tefillin, ultimately again, you know, during people don't normally wear tefillin as a malbush, but halacha lemaisa again. Here we're going to allow it because we want you to save the tefillin. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, umishum atzala derech malbushar derabanan afilu tefinami, then you should be permitted to even what? Go ahead and wear more pairs of tefillin. So what's it? You hear the shaila, Rabbi Gamliel? If you hold that Shabbos is a zman tefillin, is a mitzvah tefillin, then you should be capped at one pair because that's the mitzvah. If you're saying that you can wear your tefillin, right? Because you must remember again, there's an extenuating circumstance. The tefillin ultimately, again, were left outside and they're going to get ruined if you just leave them there. So if you're going to let me go ahead and wear them back in as a malbush, as a garment, then I should even be able to wear as many pairs as I could fit, because that's called the malbush. That's called the garment, to which the Gemara says, the olam kasavar Shabbos lav zman tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel holds that Shabbos is not the zman for tefillin, right? There is no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos. The chisharo rab marna le'ingin atzalos, but when the rabbis allowed you to wear the tefillin as a malbush, as a garment, in order to save the tefillin, derech malbush bimkom tefillin. We'll say they only allowed you to wear the tefillin as a malbush in a way that you normally go ahead and wear the tefillin. And I will say, how do you normally wear your tefillin? So therefore, again, you can't put on multiple pairs of tefillin. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, ihachi. So we'll say, if that's the logic, the Rabbi Gamliel says, there is no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos, but will allow you to save the tefillin by wearing them as a malbush. But the way you wear it as a malbush, Rabbi Gamliel says, has to be what? The way it's normally worn. Well, the way it's normally worn, ihachi, zug echad in tfeilo. Therefore, we'll say, again, according to that, that you can only wear the tefillin as you normally wear them during the week. You should only be able to what? Save one pair and not two. Yet Rabbi Gamliel holds an halacha lamai, so you could save two pairs. So we'll say, here we go. We'll have to stop over here. But essentially, what Rabbi Gamliel is going to hold, the Bosse is going to see that he holds that, technically speaking, there is enough room on the body for two pairs of tefillin. Right? There's enough. So we'll pick up at Meretz Hashem with Shitas Rabbi Shimon tomorrow.